Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command. Your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on earth!
And welcome back to the greatest show on earth that is Talking Terror. As always, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G, welcoming you to this episode of the show, where tonight we're going to be talking about the Demonic Dean's film pick of the week as he returns to the show with Tokyo Gore Police from 2008, directed by Yoshihiro Nishimura. I believe I got that right, so I'm pretty proud of myself. So we're going to be talking about that a little later on in the show. As you can hear, the monkey's here. Well, I was going to introduce him in a second. I don't know where the ghoul is. Says he's here. He's probably muted. Doesn't realize he's muted. So I'm sure he'll be joining us in a minute. But yes, of course, we are joined by the psychotic simian, the man monkey, the Prince of Amor's Day. Yes. Get a funky with the monkey.
Hey there, Frog fans, ghoul geeks, and hall hounds. It is Talking Terror time, baby. Your favorite time of the week with we, your favorite schlock, come in your ears with the latest horror news, nerdgasms, and movie reviews. But if you miss us live, don't worry your little shrunken head off. You want to know why? Because every single episode, yes, every episode of Talking Terror is always available free to our fans on Spotify and iTunes. You just remember to share the love, baby, and make sure that you and all of your friends and fiends follow Talking Terror on Facebook and Instagram, baby. And this is just us. What's up, my motherfucker?
it's just us. I don't know. I received a message from the ghoul who says he's, if it says I'm muted, it's on your end. I'm not in the site. I have no idea what the fuck that means.
Maybe he got a new setup like the Dean.
I mean, we're on the air and recording, so he's obviously in. I just don't know what his technical issue is. That's concerning, as always, because it says he is here. I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, yeah, so we're going to be joined by the Demonic Dean pretty soon. And he'll be doing his, and obviously horror news. While we fill up the dead air, you have anything you wanted to bring up, Monkey?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to talk to you real quick, because the Diva and I this weekend finally got to check out Renfield, and it's just, we had a really good time with it. It was just the right amount of cage, I thought, you know, for the movie. It wasn't too overwhelming, it wasn't too underwhelming. It was just the right amount for him to just pop in every once in a while and be like, yeah, I'm still here, motherfuckers. And I hear I'm going to sit there and throw some blood all over the fucking screen while I'm here. Go away for a little bit, you know. And the Diva really enjoyed all of the little nods that they kept putting to the old school Universal movies, you know, that were in there. Even when it finally ended and, you know, it's going through the credits and it just ends with Renfield, old school Dracula font, you know, right there on the screen, and she's like, the head demon's like, oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I really enjoyed it, too. I thought it was fun, and I thought that there was just enough Nicolas Cage in the movie to make it fun. Like, it wasn't his movie, it was Renfield's movie. So you get just enough of Dracula, where it's not fucking a Nicolas Cage movie. I think that's where they excelled with it.
Yeah, and I liked how they opened the movie with, you know, doing a super, super quick telling through time. And, you know, I really enjoyed how they, you know, quickly but very thoroughly and effectively brought us to modern day times in the movie. You know. So.
Yeah. No, it was great. But I believe we are joined by the Demonic Dean himself. Are you here, Dean?
You are correct.
Woo-hoo! Oh, you are. Hello. Welcome back
you
to the show.
Correct. Oh, thank you for the warm welcome. Very
great
much.
Great to have you back.
Well, thank you so much.
Always very much good. So, don't
glad
know what's happening at the ghoul at the moment, so we have us.
Yeah. Oh, there are four people in the... nobody's muted, ghoul.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's muted. Everybody's red, meaning that they're live. Mics are live. So I'm not sure why you can hear us.
Again, always professional.
I mean, he says he can hear us, but he can't say anything. Maybe it's something with his mic. I have no idea. We always keep it professional, always classy. I'm talking there. Wow. So hopefully, but if he hangs up, it'll disconnect us. So I have no idea what's going on.
How about that?
Boy.
Hey!
Hello!
What happened? Did you figure it out?
I don't know. I hit buttons, bro. That's what I do.
maybe the mic was muted. Who knows? I've done that sometimes, you know, where I'm muted. I don't even realize I'm muted until somebody tells me. So either way, he's here. The demonic fiend is here. Ghoul is here. Ghoul, before we get into horror news, I wanted to get your thoughts on Fast 10. You know, a little bit about that, because we both saw it this weekend. You know, talk a little about the first part of the final entry into the series.
Oh, yeah, you know, the whole beginning of the end and all of that fun stuff. Listen, it was a Fast and Furious movie. It is exactly what the Fast and Furious films have become since about the fourth film, really. I guess, yeah, a lot of people feel like that point really was the fifth movie. I think we saw just as many absurd things start happening by four, but yeah, five is kind of where it really jumps the shark, which interestingly enough is where this one kind of takes a good portion of its story. That being said,
what, they drive into a shark?
Yes, they drive into a shark. Jason Momoa fucking absolutely steals the show. The guy owns the fucking screen. Every second that he is on it, you just want to see him again. And you know what, man? I've said it plenty of times. The Fast and the Furious franchise lives in its own universe now. So for people like Michelle Rodriguez, they want to complain about movies like the Marvel films. Like, listen, these movies are existing in their own little realm similar to the Marvel universe. Physics, all that shit don't apply anymore. But like I've always said about comic book movies, if you make your villain interesting, it will make your movie so much better. And Jason Momoa just simply proves that fucking point. Because like I said, he owns this fucking film from top to bottom. Mesmerizing. Fantastic. Fucking love it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, if you watch Fast 9, you watch a Fiero go into space. So what the fuck are you going to expect from Fast 10? Like, just, you know, tamper expectations. It's a fun action movie with racing. Yeah. And it's just Jason Momoa, he could go from menacing to fucking hilarious in, like, a second. Like, I love him as the villain Dante in this movie. Like, he was hilarious. He was menacing. He was everything that you could possibly want. And I'm glad we didn't get too much of him. Like, you know, when you have too much of a good thing, it can kind of ruin it. But they gave you just enough where you couldn't wait to see where he's going to pop up next. And see what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm. That is for sure.
So, yeah, I thought it was actually the end. Then I found out that it's actually like the first part. So the second part's going to come out in 2025.
Yeah, so, they don't have anything definitive yet. That's what they're hoping. But remember, we do have a writer's strike at the moment, too. But, I think originally it was supposed to be a two-part finale. But then due to... You know, I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't already seen the spoiler, so I'm not going to say it, but there is a mid-credit scene that kind of accompanies something else, which now makes this thing, it's going to be a three-part finale, essentially, is what it comes
three.
Down to.
Okay.
Three indeed.
Jesus. Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, that's going to be
someone,
a stretch.
Can someone... either text me or put in our group chat what the secret surprise cameos that I read about were, because it just said there were secret surprise cameos, and I don't care for it to be spoiled because I don't watch these movies, but I'm just curious as to what those were.
Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was Optimus Prime. And they had a DeLorean in the movie, and they went back in time. Couldn't believe it.
It's true.
Like they had the DeLorean there. They went back in time to the 80s for some reason. Like it was just, it was wild.
Well, I don't think it's anything because I just saw one of the leaders of the franchise say that in future franchise films that time travel is off the table.
True. Well, it shouldn't be. Not when you put a DeLorean in your movie. You're just teasing me too much. Like, I need time travel.
Marty
McFly.
Like,
let's go into the future.
Yeah. George.
Well, Dom, am I really part of your family? Yeah. Oh,
what was it? The traditional was it the traditional DMC or was it the new
no,
EV?
It's
the
new,
oh,
it's the
new,
it's
EV?
The new DeLorean.
Yeah.
Looks like,
oh, okay.
It looks like ass. Like, I was like, why would anybody want to drive that? It's just matte white and just nothing to it. I'm like, the old one was better. This new one, I'm like, oh, okay. I guess you could drive it. I mean, I would rather drive, you know, Dom's Charger. Because that thing can fucking survive anything.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay.
Except a train.
Realistically. Yeah. Well, they keep rebuilding it, man. Blink and you miss it, too.
Like
the
fucking
the
Delta 88.
Yes. Fucking that survived time travel too, but yeah, now the blinking you missed. Obviously, the cars are supposed to be the fucking, you know, the crux of the show here. You know, there's the new Charger shows up for like a quick second right in front of their house, which is the new EV model coming out for that as well. So it's going back to its coupe style and yeah, all electric, man, all the time. Bye bye V8s. Glad I got mine.
That's not electrical, but yeah, no, it's the car is usually the showcase in this movie, but I think at this point in 10, you're just looking to see what action's going to happen, you know, like even Jacob had that fucking cool-ass car at the end. I'm like, it just defies logic, his car, but it exists, and you like it. There's no way this thing is existing in the reality that we're in, but no, we're in fast reality, so anything is possible.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is the same reality as Hobbs and Shaw, in which we have, you know, fucking Idris Elba walking around basically as a superhuman. So, and we know from Fast 9 that, you know, Vin Diesel, you know, Dom is also superhuman. Because at some point in that movie, he grabs a bunch of chains while they're fucking climbing out of like a sewer pipe and pulls the entire fucking ceiling down all by his lonesome and survives.
Yeah. Was that Little Vin Diesel or was that Big Vin Diesel? Like we had Big Rock and Little Rock.
Oh. Little Rock, Big Rock, Little Diesel, Big Diesel. I just love that somebody else saw that, man, because I thought it was so funny when I was watching it because I'd never noticed that until that moment. So the fact that other people seeing it is just like nice. Good deal.
Yeah. Then when you shared the video last night in the group chat, I was fucking dying. I was like, why is he fucking gigantic? And he looks huge, and all of a sudden he's like fucking tiny. And I'm like,
because
God,
egos.
Right.
They were like, listen, at no point can this man be bigger than me. I am Vin Diesel. I am the star of this show. I don't care if in reality The Rock is like almost a foot taller than me and 100 plus pounds heavier than me and all muscle. I could still kick his ass because I'm Vin fucking Diesel, baby. He lives for this shit.
Man, I would love to be on the set of one of those movies with The Rock and fucking Vin Diesel. Just two beefy, bald guys just fucking constantly hating on each other. Be great. Just want to be there just for one day. No, I get to be the Big Rock. No, I get to be Big Diesel. Can you both be big people? No.
I want to be the Big
Spoon. He's not family. Yeah. I don't like when I'm the little spoon, Rock. Yeah, but who's been the people's champion for decades? You. That's right.
So what were they?
It doesn't matter
there,
if you're the little spoon.
So, like, was there stuff where they actually didn't get along on set?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just, yeah. Yeah, because I was looking it up when you
so the
yeah,
rumors go.
Just, yeah. Two big dudes with big egos can't get along. That's why they had to bring in John Cena for 9, because he's like, guys. I'm kind of big, too, right? So, nothing to worry about. What's bringing another big guy? And I have hair. Well, mostly, if you just don't look at the back.
Kind of.
But, yeah. If you just don't focus on the back, I got a ton of great hair.
Those got to be like all like extensions and shit like that, man, because that's, that's like it's unnatural looking. It doesn't look anything like his hair looked like when he was younger, you know what I mean? So like the fact that you're in your mid-40s now and suddenly you have this fucking coif of hair, it just doesn't make any sense.
That pompadour he's had for a couple years.
He has definitely admitted that he is definitely taking some kind of medication for that now.
Yeah, he sent it to Austin Theory when they were doing a shoot. He's like, I'll take it. I'm not afraid to admit it. You know, he took off his hat and showed the back of his head, and he's like, see, there's hair there now. Not long.
It's like Austin Theory should be admitting to that fucking steroid use, because that motherfucker, like, tripled in size in, like, two months. That man got... Dude, I don't know where the fuck his neck went.
He got swole.
But it was like, yo, come on. You were like, you know, you were cut, but like a thin-bodied wrestler with a nice cut physique. Now all of a sudden you're fucking monstrous, looking like you're fucking, you know, Brock Lesnar's little brother.
Looking at you, Triple H, back during that era. When it's like, I remember the 90s Triple H versus the 2000s Triple H, when all of a sudden his muscles were bigger than his entire body.
Yeah. Well, man. Even Vince was popping, man. Everybody was popping.
Oh, Vince is a bit of
Yes. Yeah, he has no shame. Like he glad. But yeah, so check out Fast X. I guess there's going to be two more. Maybe there's going to be another spinoff. Who knows? But it's a lot of fun. And there's actually some horror elements in Fast X, which I really appreciate. I was like, oh. Bringing a little bit of horror in this movie. I kind of dig it. One particular scene with Dante, and the ghoul knows what scene that is, I'm sure. Where I'm like, oh, all right. I was like, I like
pedicure.
It. Pedicure.
The mani pedi.
Oh, and just make sure you drink your mojitos. I'll be back. Oh, my favorite scene in the movie. But with that being said, Dean, you're back. I know you have some horror news, so what are you talking about?
Let us see. The summer season is kicking off, and although this event is not going to be taking place until October, to kick off the summer season, it's been announced that Joe Bob Briggs' third annual drive-in jamboree will be taking place at the West Wind Las Vegas drive-thru from October 6th to October 8th. This will be featuring... a sleepaway camp movie marathon, amongst others, sleepovers, barbecue, celebrity guests, vendors, live music, and more. Single-day tickets are $55, and a whole weekend pass is $165. So if you're feeling like a weekend festival in Vegas, there is the information that might be important for you to have.
Well, sounds like fun. If you're a fan of Joe, go ahead. I won't be there. But, all right, so what else were we talking about?
There was a surprise hit financially. I have not seen it myself. A horror-themed take on the children's story Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. It was made on a budget of less than $100,000 and globally thus far has made over $6 million. And it's been announced that a sequel is officially a go. Premier Entertainment has secured multiple international distribution deals, and they have been supplied a substantially larger budget for the sequel.
Ooh, it was damn good. But man, Winnie the Pooh, Two Blood, Two Honey. That's got to be the title.
Not the sequel.
So was the first one I'm guessing King that you have, but
yes.
Monkey, Ghoul, have you seen?
I have
Blood
not
and Honey, no.
I have it downloaded, I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Ghoul. Sound like me.
Just sitting there. Yep. I'm the only fucking loser that watches these movies when they come out. Just because I have nothing better to do than fill my time with horror. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a ton of blood, ton of tits.
Like, I haven't, like, haven't looked for it, really, but you know, like, I guess if I found it somewhere, I probably would have watched it just out of interest.
Yeah, I think it's available on digital now. I mean, you know, I can't remember how I found it.
But not,
I think I found
but
one
not
just
streaming
it
yet, just like rent or buy.
No.
It's not like on any of the
yeah.
streaming services yet.
Okay. You know, I remember I rented it. It was like $2.99. So, yeah, it'll be on digital soon, enough, I'm sure. I mean,
I'm not even spending that for it, bro.
I did. I'm a sucker. But it was actually good. But all right, the sequel's on the way. I'm looking forward to it. All right, so what's next, Steve?
Yes. In the world of video games, and this is, I guess, loosely related to the Renfield talk from earlier, but the Dead by Daylight multiplayer horror-themed video game that has 50 million players worldwide just passed its 7th anniversary, and they're still creating and putting out new content, and they have announced that they are going to have a playable Nicolas Cage character that will be available to use in the game. Over the years, Dead by Daylight has featured other notable characters from the world of horror, including versions of Michael Myers, Leatherface, Ghostface, Pinhead, Freddy Krueger, Jigsaw, as well as Laurie Strode, Ash, and Nancy and Steve from Stranger Things. But now Nicolas Cage is entering the fray. And I'm not familiar with this game, but apparently it's a one-on-five like survival game where someone is the killer and five characters are trying to escape, something like that. But anyway,
yeah.
Nicolas Cage, playable Nicolas Cage. How exciting.
Wow. That is exciting. You know, you get the rage of Cage. You know, that'd be cool. Battling monsters as Nick Cage. Hopefully he voices his own character.
It's just so exciting.
Anything with Nick Cage is exciting to me, man. You know, I'm all about Cage. So that's awesome. And I can't wait to see the playthroughs because I do not have a gaming system. So I'll just revert to YouTube and check it out when it's there. I don't have time for games, but I have time for movies. Go figure.
King has no time. No time for games.
Priorities, man. Priorities.
No time for love.
No time for PS5, Dr. Jones. Yeah. Yep, sorry. I'm just watching too many damn movies. You know, I'm trying to catch up on my 2023 watch list. I just scored like three or four
Dr.
more
Jones,
last weekend.
Dr. Jones, doll.
Is that the Dial of Destiny? That's coming out soon. I think, what, next month or July? Yeah, July, I think. Yeah, that'll be there. Apparently, standing ovation.
Oh,
July.
Man.
We got your favorite movie coming, King. We got The Little Mermaid coming this week. I know you're there for
Maria's
that.
That's Maria's favorite. Yep, I might have to take Maria to go see that because she's a huge Little Mermaid fan. So
you're going to see a Disney flick, la, 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 la.
Yeah, never seen the original, so I don't know.
You're going to be a part
of
nothing
about the movie. Yeah, I guess all I know is that it involves a mermaid.
Well, he just wants to be where the people are, Ghoul.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I don't get these references. Don't get them. Don't understand them. But, yeah, it's fun. It's about a mermaid, and she wants to fuck a dude. I think that's about all I gleaned from the trailer.
Maybe,
I just watched the live action. Kiss a girl.
La, 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 la,
no, I mean,
la,
I guess
la,
you could kiss
la,
her. I mean,
da, 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 da. You got to kiss the girl.
Sure, I mean, why not? I mean, if you're going to kiss anybody, kiss a girl.
La,
you know.
La, 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 my mama.
Yeah, I'm sure
Marie,
who wasn't probably singing along at home. I'm not. I told her, I was like, I still haven't seen the cartoon yet. And she's like, oh, my God, it's amazing. I'm sure it is. Sure. I'm just going to have a ball, you know, like I did seeing The Lion King.
Asking the king to have a childhood. Oh, it's so fucking horrible.
I had a child, but it was just incredibly fucked up and disturbing. So, there. All right? I didn't have whimsy. Right? I was too busy watching RoboCop and fucking Friday 13th. I wasn't watching Disney movies. That kind of just soared past the radar. I'm seeing all these movies. People are like, you've never seen Aladdin, bro? I'm like, no. Why the fuck would I go
watch that one was my shit. That was my shit, man.
All right, well, you have your shit. Well, you know, I'll never know because I don't watch those movies. But, Dean, what else are we talking about?
I will tell you, King, what we're talking about. On my last appearance on this program, I talked about
2 months ago.
Sigourney Weaver stated that the time has come where it's off the table for her to suit up as Ripley once again. That she has
Ripley.
Put in her time and space. That's what I had talked about, and what I'm here to talk about this time with some Sigourney Weaver information is that she said that she has not been asked to return to reprise her character of Dana Barrett for the upcoming Ghostbusters Afterlife sequel that's due this December. So I don't know if that is surprising to anybody or not, but since she was mainly talking about Ripley, she has now said that, it doesn't look like she's going to be appearing in the Ghostbusters franchise.
We know why that is. There is no Dana, only Zool.
So maybe they signed her to play Zool, but not Dana.
There you go.
That could be it. Maybe. Yeah, I mean,
Or she could be Mother to whatever his name was. Hunton Koenig. Oh, fuck, I forget the bad guy's name. In the
Oscar?
Second one. Yes, Oscar.
Oh.
No, is it Oscar the baby?
Oscar's the baby. Janosch is the Yeah. Or, oh, and you're talking about Viggo the Carpathian.
Yes, I'm talking about Viggo the Carpathian. There we go.
We got there. I kept thinking you were talking about Janosch. The guy that was in there now. But she was unnecessary in Ghostbusters Afterlife, so who cares? She had a fucking post-credit scene. That's it.
Yeah, but if you're bringing Bankman back, you know.
Well, I guess. I mean, she doesn't really add anything. She never did. Like, in part two, she didn't really add much. Just in the third act, she was kind of useful as to being, the foil.
Mother to the end of the world.
Mother to you, mother to me. Like, oh, yeah. I like fucking Ghostbusters, too. I don't know why it still gets hate. It's such a fun movie.
It's not a good movie.
It is a good movie. What are you talking about? It's a fantastic movie. The Statue of Liberty fucking moves. Like, you get that
fucking
movie.
Oh,
man.
I don't know. I remember
trying to get that
part. Theater.
She's a Harvard chick.
I just remember kind of being, like, lukewarm on it, but it's been a while since I've seen it, so I watched the first one, like, regularly. You know, that's one that I'll put on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's delightful. And love all the time. The first movie's fucking phenomenal.
Part two just has its charm. It was obviously in the kids. Yes, I'm sorry, Dean.
The first one. I'm just saying, the first film is delightful.
It's fantastic. And the second one, obviously, is aimed at kids because the cartoon was out at the time. But it still has a lot of fun, The car is cool. The uniforms are cool. You get more Winston. I love the fact that he manages to skate out of that fucking trial because he's like, hey, man, I wasn't even there. I don't even know these guys. They're on trial for that. So I'm just sitting here in the audience. And he wasn't even in the audience. He didn't even show up for their fucking trial. I loved it. He's like, good luck, guys. I'll be over here. You guys fucked up. I love the fact that he wasn't even there. He's like, I'm too busy building a real estate fucking enterprise. It's going to pop up in another movie. it's worth a rewatch. It's a fun, like, Sunday movie to put on when there's nothing else on. But all right, so what else are we talking about, dude?
I'm going to tell you. One of my I'm going to save that one for a bit. I should have gone into this one before or after Dead by Daylight, but in the realm of video games, this September, September 19th to be precise, there is going to be a new Mortal Kombat unleashed to the world. But it's not that there's a Mortal Kombat game that I want to talk about. It's the fact that available at launch, I guess people have been wanting this because the term used was finally, but available at launch, there is going to be a Jean-Claude Van Damme skin to be used when using the character of Johnny Cage.
Oh, shit! Oh.
Wow.
That is awesome.
They can't make him look like Guile from Street Fighter? That's disappointing.
No, different franchise.
Yeah. You can play as Guile in Mortal Kombat. It makes no sense, but yeah. That's cool. Get that skin of Jean-Claude Van Damme. And did you hear that they are planning on casting Carl Urban as Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 2?
Oh, man, yeah. I just don't see him playing fucking Johnny Cage. I just can't picture it.
You know what, man? I would have said that about so many things with Carl Urban, except here's the thing. Every time I've said or thought that about Carl Urban, and then I go and watch Carl Urban do whatever it is that Carl Urban does with that character, I end up fucking loving it. So, you know,
like Judge Dredd.
Him as Johnny Cage. I feel like, you know what, he wouldn't have taken the role if it's not something he figured he could actually do something fun with.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I just, you know, I do like Carl Urban. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great actor. I've seen him in a ton of good movies, but just seeing him as Johnny Cage, I'm going to have to temper my expectations and just see what he does with the character. I was really hoping for The Miz. I was like, come on, fingers crossed. He is fucking Johnny Cage, but no, didn't get it.
Yeah, but he can't.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still.
You know, but at the same time, it's not like we really have a, you know, masterful piece to work from anyway, because the first movie was a total piece of shit. So, so if anything, you know, whatever, you know, they can't make it any worse.
Well, you mean the Mortal Kombat movie with Steven No Name as the main character, who, what's his superpower? I get my ass kicked.
Yep, that one.
Somebody has to. Is that Christopher Lambert? Oh, man.
No.
No.
If only.
It's not
if,
me.
If only.
I should have been there. I would have been a better Raiden than anybody else.
I am Raiden. Yes, you are Christopher Lambert. Now go
It's James Remar. Look, he showed up too. That's what we should do. We should get a multiverse movie going, okay? We'll have fucking Christopher Lambert, James Remar. We're all good to go. I'm Raiden.
No.
Oh.
No,
no,
I am Raiden.
Why are you guys all pointing at each other? It's weird. All right. So moving on, what else are we talking about, Dean?
Going back to before the 20th century modern Disney murder, it's come out that 10 episodes of an anime series of Alien versus Predator was fully produced, completed, and in the can, and it has now been sitting on the shelves for years. This was completed before the 20th Century Fox Disney merger. The producer of that series, who forever has been baffled as to why this has not seen any release, even just put onto Disney Plus or Hulu, especially given the hands, that's where the franchise lies and the success of Predator Prey, he says that he knows that the people that are in charge of the Alien and Predator franchise are, and I quote, very aware of its existence, yet it still has not seen the light of day.
That's weird as shit, man. She got a to do anything with it.
Maybe it's just not good.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's probably crap.
I don't think that's an excuse.
They put up those shitty anime Godzilla movies.
People like those, though. They're popular. So I don't know about
that.
So.
Who put up the shitty anime Godzilla movies?
I'm saying that they released them, you know.
Like Shin Godzilla?
Disney?
Oh, Shins.
No, not Disney. I think they're all available on Netflix, though. But there's like four anime Godzilla movies and they're
gotcha.
They're
yeah,
not cool.
Well, that's what I was seeing again though. Disney is the one in charge of the Alien and Predator franchise at this point. So if that cartoon is garbage, you know, they may not be willing to fuck with the franchise to give it a bad taste. Hulu's Prey was fairly successful. So they may want to look at doing something a little more serious and not enter the cartoon foray with these characters, you know? Like, why are we going to make it childish if we actually have an adult-based franchise on our hands?
Oh, okay. I got what you're saying.
Yeah, but who knows? It'll be
While it's not stated anywhere, it's rumored that this anime series was directed by Shinji Aramaki, who was the director of the Starship Troopers animated series, amongst other things.
Oh, that explains it right there. that answers your question, Ghoul. Yeah, it was definitely shit then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I remember the Starship Troopers cartoon, and yeah, it was fucking hard.
Yep, Saturday mornings. Oh, man, it was so bad.
I'd rather watch Hero of the Federation.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, that says a lot.
Boom.
That is a fucking rough watch, my friends. That is a really rough watch.
Take your word for it.
All right, Dean. What else are we talking about?
Unpredictably. The Meg 2 has been given a PG-13 rating.
Oh, no. I don't know. Trailer looked fun. It's got everything.
Look, you know what? I had the trailer for Fast X. You know, so seeing it on the big screen kind of just made that whole entire thing all the more fun. You know, the trailer opens up and it's fucking... You know, it's Jurassic Park, dinosaurs roaming around, and they're talking about how fucking dinosaurs are like the apex predator, and then all of a sudden this giant shark jumps out of the fucking ocean, lands on the beach, and just starts eating the T-Rex. You know, and I mean, it's like
what?
It morphs the fucking T-Rex.
Yep.
It's not like it's like a big shark and a big T-Rex. The fucking shark is so much bigger than the T-Rex that it's like absurd. So like as it's cutting from sequence to sequence throughout this movie, it's like, yeah, you know what? They took the fucking wheels off. They're like, guys, there ain't going to be nothing fucking serious about this. Understand that you are about to watch a very silly film and like it, you know? So fucking hey, I will be there when that releases in theaters because that's going to be a fucking good time.
I will also be. Yeah, I can't wait for that. Seeing Jason Statham fucking kick a megalodon in the face. I was like, oh, it's
going
to be great.
Bro.
I just laying on the fucking dock, kicking you in the face.
Dude, he's on a jet ski. He's surfing on a jet ski, jumping off of it, and throwing like a spear at a fucking shark. It's fucking ridiculous. It's like
that's not the greatest thing you'll see. Like, I can't.
Fucking I love it.
Oh, I was so excited when that trailer played during Fast X. Like, yes. Seeing it on the big screen, I thought, I'm going to be there when it comes out. Like, you have to. It's absurd. Like, I like when movies get absurd like that. Like Sharknado last week. Like, these fucking movies are good. Can't lie. They're just, you know, no nonsense. They just pull no punches without stupid.
Yeah,
they are.
You know,
they're fun.
Like I was saying to you guys, like, funny enough, like, I went and started watching the first Sharknado again, like, after all the show and everything. And I was like, you know what, let me put the original on, because I hadn't seen it in so long. You know, I forgot that they actually did take that movie kind of serious. Like, it was not anywhere near as absurd as it gets by the fourth film. And it's also really not that, okay, I don't want to say it's not bad. Because, again, they obviously made it with the knowledge of knowing what they're making is a silly film about fucking sharks getting caught up in a tornado, and there's some absurd stuff that occurs in it, but it really is it had some money behind it, and like you can see the production quality is way different. So like, I forgot that movie actually is decent.
Wow. Yeah, I still have it on my list to watch, so I want to watch them all at some point, you know, get all the Sharknados in. You know, sci-fi hasn't run a marathon in a while. I'm kind of waiting for them to put on a marathon of Sharknado movies. Usually that's like a Saturday afternoon. They have no other programming, you know, so they'll put that on. But They were running Final Destination last week, so I was like, oh, I'm watching.
We're just going to need to find you the Sharknado box set.
It has to come, like, shaped like a shark. If it doesn't, that's a missed opportunity. That'd be like a little twister with a shark in it. And there's all the discs.
Oh, my box, my box is like a shark fin.
You know, like a shark fin. Oh, LL Cool J.
Oh, fucking LL.
My hat is like a shark fin. That fucking happened. I remember talking about somebody with that song, and I'm like, oh, he's saying, like, my head is like a shark fin, because he's, like, in the water. So, no, he's saying his hat is like a shark fin. I was like, oh, okay. And just getting that visual of a fucking hat fucking, you know, flying in water.
But he's had that line forever, man. You listen to his old fucking song, I'm Bad, that line's in there from his first album. Yeah. So
my hat is like a shark
he's
fin?
Had, but, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's had that line forever. It wasn't just for that movie. And then he was like, oh, I'm in this movie. I know exactly what I'm going to say in this song.
And you didn't add it to your playlist the other day when you were putting up those posts on Facebook. You could have put that up there. It would have been a nice banger. My hat is like a shark there. But also, you didn't know what the Fat Boys did a rap video of Freddy, so...
This is true. Yeah, but yeah, earlier this week when I was in there putting up a playlist from old school breakdance music, I was sitting there trying to get the Dean into it, you know, because we all know how much he loves the fucking Glow. I was waiting for him to throw something like that up there.
Get some Turbo and Ozone. He contributed. I contributed, you know, got to see Freddie rap in the fucking music video. Like, oh, the 80s. What a great time. All right, Dean, what else are we talking about?
Let's see.
Please.
If you are a fan of Gunnar Hansen, it is believed that in October you will be able to have the opportunity to take in the upcoming documentary Dinner with Leatherface, which will cover the life and career of Gunnar Hansen, and shed light on aspects of his life that are not known by the wider fan base, including the fact that he was a writer, a poet, photographer, and a documentary filmmaker, in addition to being an actor. This documentary will feature interviews with fellow cast members, as well as never-before-seen behind-the-scenes footage from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, as well as many photographs from Gunnar Hansen's own personal collection.
Awesome. Look at that one, checking in. I got to meet the guy many, many, many moons ago. He was not happy with me.
Yes.
I didn't buy an autograph, only a picture.
The ghoul and I got to meet him, too. He signed my picture, and he signed it, "You're next."
Ooh. Yes, indeed.
So frightening.
And if I remember right, I told him that he scared the shit out of me as a kid, and he said, that's what I was supposed to do.
Yep.
Now buy something and get the fuck out of my line.
I don't know.
He didn't say that.
No, he was quite nice, actually. I mean, most everybody that we met at that Chiller Theater was really nice.
This is very true.
Yeah. No, he was very nice. That was back during the time when you could just take a picture of one of them and just not have to pay for an autograph. It was a great time. And, I didn't buy anything, but I wish I did in retrospect. I wish I had gotten that autograph.
I paid for the 8x10 on that one to get the autograph.
Well, that's cool. But, you know, that's cool that you got the autograph. And I missed out on that opportunity. Wish I had gone back and gotten it. But, yeah, very nice guy. Probably the best Leatherface that we're ever going to have. Arhe Mihailov was good in part 3, but I think, you know, Gunnar Hansen, you can't beat that. So, looking forward to Dinner with Leatherface when it comes out later this year. But, all right, what else is next?
Right here on this show, the past several episodes have featured properties to be viewed on the bloody disgusting Screambox streaming service. And just... the other night on May 21st, live on Shudder, was the Fangoria Awards, and Screambox Properties took home 5 different awards that night. Screambox making waves in the industry. They took home the award for best limited release movie of 2022 with Terrifier 2, which also won for best makeup effects, the best kill, being the bedroom killing of a character named Allie, and it also took home the best documentary feature for their property, Pennywise, the Story of It documentary. So Screambox, who seems to have kind of come out of nowhere recently, making some headway in the realm of the horror streamers.
There you go. You're cleaning up. You're making a name for themselves. I know, I think Ghoul and Dean, you have Screambox. I don't have Screambox. I just have Shudder. But yeah, heard a lot of good things about Screambox.
Like I said, I spent some time when, looking around on the website. And like I said, all you have to do is type in the words, The King Loves Dawn 2004. But
sure.
I spent some time, scanning the library, looking through the different categories. And, you know, I feel like as far as their library is concerned, they definitely have a long way to go as far as quality of their content. They're certainly, I have definitely added several things to the watch list. There are definitely some things there that are worth checking out. But they have a long way to go, and I feel that is the reason that they have such a low introductory year rate. Ghoul, I think you said it was something like, I don't know, like $30 for the year or something like that. So it is inexpensive.
$26, man.
$26 for the year. So that's like two bucks and change a month. That is I think a fair investment for what their library is right now, but it's certainly worth taking a look and seeing what's on there.
I'm enjoying it. The few times that I've used it, it's like, okay, yeah, I don't go to it very often, though, you know what I mean? So, like, that's kind of the problem. But it's also not like I'm going on fucking Shudder. I mean, I do use Shudder more regularly, or I'll browse Shudder more regularly than I will do Screambox. But I'd say I'm probably equally checking, them out for the most part. No, most of my time spent not really watching TV.
Yeah, I'm always on Shudder. I'm always finding something new. That's why I love it so much. That's why I'm glad to pay for it, just because they always have something cool. A lot of Shudder originals, a lot of Italian like horror movies. So I'm always browsing their library. I was just checking out earlier, and I was adding things to my list to watch. I'm like, because I just have so much time. But yeah, it's well worth it. Screambox might be as well. I just like having the one service to pay for, but pretty cool if they cleaned up. And I know Mia Goth also won at the Chainsaw Awards because of her role in Pearl and X. So I'm looking forward to Maxine when it comes out. I know they've released some set pictures from that. So I'm trying to avoid them because I kind of want to go in fresh, but I just can't wait for the third part of the X trilogy. That's going to be a lot of fun. But anyway, Dean, what else are we talking about?
Later, the release date has yet to be determined. And this is one that I happen to be particularly interested in checking out, because this is one of those early genre cementers for me, and I know that we have covered it on Talking Terror. It's not just because there's the whole 4K restoration, because like I've said numerous times, I don't like to just say, this is coming out in 4K, because then it'll just be an endless announcement of titles, and it's not really new, you know what I mean? But anyway, there is going to be a 4K restoration of the 1980s film starring Rutger Hauer and C. Thomas Howell, The Hitcher. It's a personal favorite of mine, but what stood out to me about this piece of information, and I don't recall seeing this news, but just around a year and a half ago, after it had been missing for an undetermined length of time, the very original camera negative was located, which has allowed for this full 4K restoration to take place. The original director, Robert Harmon, says that he has been truly blown away by what he has seen done so far, and he also says that this movie has absolutely no business
looking as good as it does, considering how ancient the elements are. So hopefully this will be out there later this year, but at this time, a release date has not yet been determined.
That's a great movie. Yeah, I'm a fan of that movie, so I'd love to check out that cut. You know, I love work prints and seeing, you know, what was excluded and cut. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the 4K restorations, but that might be one to check out. you know, just the
I love The Hitcher. This is one that I had never even, like, heard of when I saw it. It wasn't like, I've heard of this movie, The Hitcher. You know, it came out when I was 10, you know, like I hadn't heard of it, but I had stumbled upon it in late night cable perusing, probably in the 1987, 88 range. And there was just something about it that kind of pulled me in and kind of had me captivated in it. And some of the things that happen in there, things that my young movie watching person hadn't thus far seen before. So, you know, I'm stoked to see what they do with it as far as this 4K. Second Sight.
What, like the back of a Volkswagen?
Exactly. Second Sight Films is the company that was able to track down the original camera negative, and on their Twitter page, they have shared some some photos of the working process, including an image of just a scene of Rutger Hauer holding a gun. You can't get a sense, of course, of, the quality of the image from this photograph that's been posted to Twitter. But they also, have said that they're nearing the end of the grading stage and that they will be having a final session with Robert Harmon in the near future. And they said that the pre-order date should be announced hopefully sometime in the near future.
Well, then you just have to wait for The Hitcher 2 to get the 4K in 2003.
Of the worst fucking movies ever made,
so
man. It's so fucking
terrible.
Bad. That was with Jake Busey, right?
Jake Busey. See Thomas Howell.
See Thomas Howell was bad and everything. What's her name? The one from King. The one we were talking about a few weeks ago that I had brought up, King of the Ants. Is in that one too? The Hitcher 2.
It's not worth it. It's not worth your time. I remember back when it was on Sci-Fi. I was like, no, this is terrible. It's not The Hitcher, you know. And plus, I'm not a big fan of Jake Busey anyway, but not worth checking out. But all right, dude, what else are we talking about?
As I look upon my list of
Jake
items,
Busey
I believe...
is Muldoon. Bro, he's Muldoon. He's fucking partying at Muldoon's house. The fucking Palace for bikinis.
Yo, I was watching Jeopardy last night. I meant to text you. One of the characters was Rancho Palos Verdes. I'm like, party
party with the Buffalo Chicks.
So anyway, I saw it, yeah. So anyway, that was the final thing that I had to talk about on my list this evening. It was a slow news week.
Yes, yeah,
as far as
you
things that I felt like talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it was very slow. But before we get into the movie real quick, I know there was a post made by the Beverly Cinema that Rick Dalton passed away. So Rick motherfucking Dalton passed away, one of the greatest actors of all time, got turned down by John Carpenter being the Thing, according to Quentin Tarantino. Couldn't happen to a better guy. I just love the fact that they're making this fictional character when he passed away. So I wonder if Leonardo DiCaprio attended the funeral. Be nice. Be fitting. But so that's sad. Still one of the best. Rick motherfucking Dalton.
As long as he didn't let the Mexicans see him cry, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he toasted up some hippies, so he contributed to that. But yeah, so let's get into movies tonight. This is the Demonic Dean's pick of Tokyo Gore Police 2008, directed by Yoshihiro Nishimura. So go ahead and give us a synopsis, what you thought, and let's get into the gore.
Yes, a bizarre one here. Tokyo Gore Police from 2008, as the King just said, directed by Yoshihiro Nishimura, and starring Aihi Shina as Ruka, who is a police officer in a Tokyo that is futuristic and is under siege by what are referred to as engineers, which are mutated humans that develop weapons sprouting out of their body from injuries. Ruka is a ruthless engineer killer working for the police, which is like it's now been privatized. It's not a public police force anymore. It has been privatized. When Ruka was just a girl, she witnessed her father, a police officer, murdered on the job. So as she contends with having to kill engineers, she also, in the background, is trying to locate those that are responsible for the death of her father. So there's a loose synopsis of the Tokyo Gore Police.
All right, so what did you think about the movie?
I like this. I thought this was like a silly, like I love the level of splatter, although like, it wasn't the greatest effects in the world. But I thought there was a lot of funny stuff here. I felt it was a little long. I felt that it was a little long at 110 minutes. I feel like this easily could have been 90 minutes and moved. I don't think it was the pacing. It just felt long. I feel this could have been a much brisker, quicker viewing experience. But I thought this was a fun, wacky, unique take from the Far East, the kind of stuff that I like to see from over there from time to time.
Excellent. All right. So, Ghoul, what do you think about Tokyo Gore Police?
Now, this is one that for a while now, every time I, like, catch it, like, I'll see it on, like, Tubi or whatever it was. I think for a little while it might have been on Shudder. I'm always like, I'm going to watch it. And then I don't, you know. So Dean, thank you. Finally, you know, it's forced my hand to finally watch this.
You're welcome.
You know what? I'm going to just fucking put it right the fuck out there. This very well may be my favorite pick of yours of all time. This movie was fucking fun. I do agree that the length was a little bit long, but you know what? The level of fucking absurdity that occurs in this movie just reaches that, like, you have to laugh at it type of level. This is like RoboCop, except, like, with fucking, like, with just an Asian twist, you know? It's got that Japanese, like, fucking manga fucking feel going on. I mean, there's all kinds of, like, Starship Trooper, like, ads going on in the middle of it and everything. Like, you know, I was waiting for a want to learn more, you know, do your part, like that kind of shit. So yeah, this was silly. This was fun. It was gory. And yeah, it was a little bit long, but you know what? For a movie that was made in like 2 weeks, this was a fucking pretty decent flick.
Oh, I didn't realize it was made so quickly.
Yeah.
Only 2 weeks, man.
That's a quick turnaround. All right, Monkey, what'd you think about Tokyo Gore Police?
Yeah, if the ghoul wasn't going to pick this, if the dean wasn't going to pick this, I was going to pick this. This is actually going to be my next pick. just because I saw the trailer for it and everything that the ghoul said about, because in the trailer you have the commercials and all that kind of stuff. So you have all this quirky shit going on in the trailer. I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but I have to fucking watch this movie. Oh, man. Yeah, and I really enjoyed this movie. Aside from the definite nods to, like, I Am Legend and the evolution of the human race and all that kind of stuff going on, this is, like, while I enjoyed all the quirkiness that was going on and the, you know, cheesy, very, you know, big nods to Screaming Mad George on the effects, you know, that he wasn't involved, but definitely influenced by him. I thought, but this movie somehow made me feel uncomfortable. Like, especially, like, with the scenes with the fucking Gimp. And when the Gimp first showed up and stuff like that, these particular scenes and the club scene, you know, the opening of the club scene gave me a big sense of unease, and I fucking loved feeling uncomfortable in a movie again. It's been so long since I have felt uncomfortable in a movie that, you know, yeah. I was just happy to be feeling off, uncomfortable. And then they would switch gears and then go to the other end of the spectrum and be all silly and shit like that. But then they would go back to it. So, yeah, so it was a nice, you know, up and down roller coaster for me, you know, of emotions of feeling weird and, you know, feeling, you know, a fun ride. But, yeah, but I fucking enjoyed it, man. I really liked it. King. Tell us how you didn't like it.
Yeah, I was definitely not a fan. Definitely not a fan of Tokyo Gore Police. I'm just not a fan of Japanese horror movies. Like, I think that's just the realization that I've come to. I just don't like them. I just don't care.
You got to be careful when you make statements like that around me, King, because you'll know what's coming next for the next 7 picks of mine.
You can literally give me every Japanese horror movie, and I will watch it for the show because it's my job. So you can literally pick every Japanese horror movie you want. I will watch it and I will critique it. Doesn't mean I have to like it. Like, these aren't movies that I would seek out. I remember I was telling the monkey that I remember when this movie first came out back in 2008, a lot of horror sites were like, oh, Tokyo Gore Police. Like, it's the next big thing out of Japan, and it's amazing, and it's great. And I was like, I am never going to see this movie. But, of course, now I run a podcast where, you know, picks are made, and I have to watch it, and I did. And, yeah, I was just like, this movie is just not good. Like, it's way too long. Like, I'm glad that you guys brought that up. You know, so I was like, yeah, we're still not the only one that thought it was too long. I'm sorry, go ahead, cool.
I wonder what the chance... No, I was just going to say, I wonder what... Because we do still need to get your full opinion. I do wonder what the chances are of all three of us for the rest of the year just picking Japanese horror movies in honor of the King.
That's all right, maybe, because it's the revenge tour for the King this year. So, revenge picks. So, you know, so I'm always going to have an answer. And you guys are going to fucking hate it. I'm going to be like, I don't care. You guys have made me watch fucking Japanese horror movies. So, yeah, it's just, the gore is fine. Like, I agree with the monkey about the Scrim and Mad George kind of influence on the effects. Like, they were fine. But the story was just dumb. It was too long. I couldn't wait for it to be over at a certain point. I'm like, it's just too much. Like, they're screaming in my face the entire time, and I just hate that. You know, that's why, like, Japanese horror movies that are trying to be funny, I always just have a problem with, because it's always just screaming in my face. And it's just random stuff. Like, it reminds me of the Clerks cartoon series, where they became an anime all of a sudden. It's like, who is driving? Bear is driving. How could that be? Fall off. Like, you know, it's like, why are you...
That was my favorite episode.
Yeah. It's just... They're very loud and they're in your face, and it's fine. Like I said, the gore was great, but just the overall story, and I just had keeping up with the characters, and then I just kind of like dazed off for a moment where I forgot I was watching it, and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta fucking get back. Like, I left my body for a second, and I was like, oh wow, I'm back in Tokyo Gore Police, and I have an hour left. Great. But so yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea, but I'm glad that you guys liked it. But so, you guys, if I miss something in my narration, feel free to fucking dig in and be like, oh, you missed that. And I'll gladly let you guys take the floor. So,
sure.
The movie opens with this movie opens with an unnecessarily loud narration from a girl talking about her dad, who's a cop, and she loves him very much. She wants to become a cop just like him, and then we see his head explode. So we cut to the girl, Ruka, and she's all grown up and a loner.
Does she live on the second floor?
Her name is Luca or Ruka, so we see that she's with a bunch of cops, and they've surrounded the building where Koji Tanaka, age 29, is inside messing with some bloody viscera. The police are there to arrest him after he kidnapped a woman and barricaded himself in the building, so this blonde woman that makes Harley Quinn seem really fucking calm is like, this is a special police force, go get him! I'm like, stop it. Really? You just started. We're already
doing
this?
That's the dispatch, man! That's the dispatch! For the
oh,
riot squad.
God.
Everything's supposed to always
I wanted
be
to see
super exciting all the time. You got to go get him, King, now.
I wanted to see him die so bad.
That was an awesome speed racer impression.
That is exactly what happened, and I wanted her to die, and we'll see, because it doesn't happen. But I was like, oh, whenever they cut her, I was like, great, she's going to fucking yell in my face again. Can't wait for that to happen. So the police raid the building where Koji turns into Leatherface with a chainsaw as Ruka just starts slashing at her arm, drawing blood. The police are ambushed by Koji, but they get the upper hand and gun him down and shoot off his arm, which then turns into a fussy chainsaw that he uses to attack the police. Ruka gets called up to help the police. She flies up to where the police are using a bazooka. A cop takes a chainsaw to the mouth and sprays blood as the other surviving officers run away, leaving Ruka alone to fight Koji. She uses a chainsaw to cut off his chainsaw hand and then uses both chainsaws to slice him up before using her sword to slice him right down the middle. So, again,
Gore's great.
No problem.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, man, but, you know, first 10 minutes, you get a fucking chainsaw battle. How fucking badass is that? And then she goes with a Voltron killing move. It's so fucking cool.
The chainsaw in the face is good.
And listen, you know, like, for the movie to open up with a guy's head exploding, too, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, okay, here's this world. It's called the Gore Police. And again, I've never watched the trailer for this. I have no idea, really, what it's gonna be. So within the first couple of seconds, when I see some dude's head fucking, like, you know, rip apart, like, Hellraiser style, I'm like, yes! But then on top of the whole sequence
or Scanners.
Exactly, and then she fucking, you know, she pulls out the fucking the bazooka, and again, I'm thinking, oh, okay, basic, you know, basic 101. I'm going to shoot the fucking guy with the chainsaw with the bazooka. No, she uses the bazooka as her fucking, you know, her means of getting up there, and I'm like, that's right.
Fucking bazooka, fucking jetpack.
Absolutely, it's the bazooka elevator, man, whatever the fuck it is. It was fantastic, and I'm here for it.
So we then see that Tokyo has privatized their police force, which always solves everything. We cut to a coroner who carves up Koji's body.
It worked in the movie Cuffs.
Yeah. Well, that worked out. And especially in RoboCop when OCP was fucking
It worked. It worked very well in RoboCop, absolutely.
So we find out that the police have been attacked recently by monstrous maniac criminals known as engineers. You have to sever a key-shaped tumor on their body to kill them. Ruka says she's an engineer hunter. So we see later, Ruka visits the bar and orders an orange juice. The bartender notices a bloody bandage on Ruka's wrist, which reveals a flashback where Ruka was saved by the same bartender when she was a kid and nearly raped by two young men. Suddenly, Ruka is called back to the station. She arrives and is super quiet as a red light above the door starts flashing. Ruka takes out her sword and makes her way into the station. Once inside, a man shows up in samurai armor and a man dressed up in leather acting like a dog gimp. The man walks up to her and shouts, "Happy birthday!" And we realize it's a birthday party from the cops who are dressed up like samurai warriors, which I kind of dug their
Here's what I really realize at this point, though, that this is our main villain. Because no good guy, okay, walks around in any Japanese fucking movie or cartoon with a fucking helmet, with a helmet with demon horns coming out of it, and a fucking legless, armless gimp walking around like a dog. That is not, even in this world, that is not the good guy. And it's clear as day that it is not the good guy. Hey.
Okay, but the horns, though, okay, I was going to give the horns a slide because, you know, obviously all the armor for the riot gear is supposed to be, you know, based on traditional samurai stuff. So, so you have your leader with the big-ass horns, you know, so he's the shogun of the area, so that's why he's got the big-ass horns and shit like that, you know. But I also like how we have a little bit of steampunk going or whatever it is going on with where he has this little microphone in front of him, like, you know, kind of like a little Darth Vader setup. You know, but yeah, the gimp though, yeah. Oh man, the gimp fucked me up. As soon as I saw that throughout the rest of the movie, I was like, oh, motherfuck.
Yeah, I was like, that's something. You know, so we flash back to Ruka as a kid with her dad bringing her a birthday gift. Her dad asks Ruka's mom how her day was, and she's like, I can't take it anymore, and starts fucking slashing at herself. And I was like, wow, she had a day.
Yeah.
She's not very happy with how things are going.
And apparently by all the scars on her mom's arm, she has a lot of days like that.
Yeah. You know, she can't take a little pill and feel better.
Ruka's
that's where she got it from.
You know?
from her mom. So after that flashback, we then see a dude that just finished up using the vibrator. We then see a dude that just finished up using a vibrator on a young prostitute, and her pimp shows up
and
demands to maintain an extension fee. Because use the vibrator and you pay the extension fee.
And it's one of the plug-in ones, like, too, and it's just rolling around and stuff like that.
It's also got the little stimulator on it, too. It's got, like, you know, it like, looks like a little fucking, like, a bowing man with his tongue sticking out that, like, comes off the top of it.
You can't go over your time. You got to pay extra.
That's the extension fee, man. Like, see, I thought it was because he was using a vibrator and she wanted to pay for an extension cord fee. She's paying for the extra extension cord. You couldn't use your
wiener. I just love that he's like, no, it was consensual. You know, like, it's like, damn, man, where did he stick this thing?
So the young girl leaves and heads to another appointment. And that's when we see a John clad in black, a.k.a. the key man, placing down a vial containing a key-shaped tumor. Outside, the pimp is scheduling jobs for her girls. Well, it is, but... thanks, Almond. So, the pimp is scheduling jobs for her girls, and she's being followed. So, the key man enters a public bathroom with this pimp. The key man places a knife onto her face, and she's like, oh... Like, my girls, they love this shit. So, I mean, if this is what you're into, like, I could definitely get you a girl. Like, I could definitely just hook that up for you.
I'm the bitch you want to call, man.
Yep. So instead of agreeing to a date with one of her girls, the key man begins jamming pipes into her chest and then into her mouth before extracting her blood. So
those fucking bloodletting tubes. Holy shit. Again, just to get the effects, you know, the gore going down, sticking those bottles on, fucking loving it.
Mm-hmm. Just the fast cuts were nice. Like, I did like that. So we then cut to a man being yelled at by his boss. Then he commits harakiri, but it's only a commercial. It's only a commercial about harakiri. And suicide.
And the all the fucked up commercials in this fucking movie. Holy shit.
Yeah, you know, it. Like I said, the placement is pretty fun. But meanwhile, Ruka is sitting in her car and gets a call to head to the subway. We see the lady pimp has been dismembered and placed in a box with her blood and bottles arranged in a circle. The coroner finds a key-shaped tumor drawn on the pimp's arm. Ruka is then tasked with finding this engineer, so she dresses up like a prostitute to find him. Wrist-cutting is also mentioned as being stylish, so we get another commercial.
Don't forget, King, the pimp was nicely folded up into a nice little box. understand where all the blood went, but where did all the bones go?
In a box.
Yeah, no, he cut her up just enough so he could just put her nicely in that box. Bones be damned. And then we get another commercial about how wrist cutting is stylish, and you can get a razor in many different colors.
Oh, man. Oh, that one I found so fucked up. Just because that's like, you know, the ghoul knows, like, that's like using the retractable knives like that is like a big, big, like, scary thing in fucking Japan. Like, that's like, you know, the preferred, like, anyone can get it weapon, and, you know, they're just considered like super fucking nasty and scary, you know, kind of shit. Where someone pulls out one of those, you know you're gonna get fucked up. And just super fucking weird to see these commercials about get the cute cutters. Oh yeah,
they
cool.
got little cutesy kit, like little cutesy like anime things on them too. I mean, listen, box cutters are no fucking joke, man. I mean, let's be realistic here. Fucking four hijackers took over fucking four airplanes with fucking box cutters and crashed them into major United States buildings. You know, so no, box cutters are not fun to fucking play with. So yeah, it is kind of a disturbing fucking commercial, especially considering this was a few years after fucking 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, it's just a weird kind of commercial to be like, hey, wrist cutting is fun. You know, cut your wrists open. It's fun. Everybody does it. Cutting is fun. So on the subway, Rooka watches a guy eat a bunch of bugs as we see that her ass is being grabbed by a guy. She decides to pull this guy from the subway and throw it back out. No, it's not right. Just some guy with a bunch of piercings in his mouth. So she sees that happen. Her ass gets grabbed. She grabs a guy that grabbed her ass and brings him into a back alley where she cuts off both of his hands, leading him to bleed out. And she's like, see?
Yeah.
What'd you get, motherfucker? And he's like, wow, this hurts a lot.
Yeah, just straight up, yeah. You know, molesting someone is a wrestleable offense. Takes his alley, cuts his shit off. It's like, fuck. just lets him spray there like a fucked up Jesus.
She took care
around
of
and find out.
So she gets back onto the subway trains, and Rooka has a flashback of her dad being assassinated. When she snaps back from the flashback, she sees the key man sitting across from her. He smiles at her and leaves as she gets up to follow him, and that's when she becomes dizzy. She finally stumbles onto another murder scene, and we see another body in an ice box. So this guy, at least he's neat about his fucking killing. Like, he's like, you know, I'm just going to stack his body drawing. I said, neat.
And not a wasted drop. They say no blood anywhere.
No, it's fine. You know, he leaves his calling card, and that's leaving body parts in boxes. So leaving the subway, she runs up an escalator into the night. She eventually encounters the key man, and they have a fight. She slashes him in the face, which causes him to freak out, and pulling off the top of his head. Just yanking at it, twisting, screaming, until he finally pulls off the top of his head, exposing a huge brain with two gun barrels in his eyes that begin firing little pieces of brain at Rooka, which soon pins her to the wall. I was like, okay, well, you know, that's fun. That's the fact he's got these gun barrels in his eyes, you know. The key man says, "You miss, girl," before pulling out his key-shaped tumor, creating a keyhole in Rooka's arm and inserting it into her arm, which opens up and begins just showing all the exposed muscle and viscera and becoming
an engineer herself.
So it's like, it is on. She is now an engineer with that tumor, you know, being implanted in the scarring tissue of her arm. So it's like, well, you know, wonder what's going to happen next. So,
now she turned into the, you know, chick that got bit by the zombie. And she's like, no, I'm okay. I'm just covering it with a bandage. It's going to be all right.
That's fine. It's fine. Like, I'm not even sick yet. It's fine, guys. You know, I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to make it to the end. It's fine. You know, just let me go sit over here for a second. Gotta take a break.
Well, everybody else's turn takes 5 minutes. Mine is going to take the rest of the movie.
Yeah, and there's definitely not going to be a reveal at the end where I'm definitely a zombie. Nope, not going to happen. Not this movie. Not this one. So Rooka wakes up the next day with the police chief telling her to go visit the autopsy room later, as they only found the top of the man's head, the key man's head. Just no other evidence other than that. And they're like, well, this is what we have to go on. No key-shaped tumor was found. The police chief then says that they have to kill all the engineers, and Rooka is like, yikes. Says, that's what I am now.
Oh,
you
know,
oh, that very difficult situation. Very difficult. She must now hunt what she is.
Rooka, you're definitely not one.
She hates herself.
You're definitely not one.
She's
engineer,
like Vampire
right?
Hunter.
No way.
Yeah. It's like Vampire Hunter D.
Is that an anime? I don't know what that is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Cool.
Yes.
About vampires.
He hunts vampires and dick. That's why it's Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah. Why is it called Vampire Hunter D? Is it because he likes dick? Like, it's just like,
yes,
he spends the nights hunting vampires and during the day sucking dick?
Wow.
You literally just
the X-rated tentacle one.
Yeah.
Good job. I'm going to make it a taco out of you yet, King.
So later, Rooka visits the bar and passes out. The bartender puts a bracelet on Rooka's wrist and watches her sleep.
Sure.
Why not? Is that like a Nintendo thing? Like a weeb? I don't know.
No, that's a wee. You'll be a weeb. Weeb. With a B.
What's a weeb? I don't understand what a weeb is.
You'll
cool?
be the weeb of horror. That's all. It's totally cool. So cool. super cool.
Well, as long as it's cool. I don't know what a weeb is, but if it's cool, I'll be a weeb. I don't care. Whatever.
You'll be number one. Number one team.
I'm happy about that. As long as I'm number one or something, I don't care what it is. Just need to be number one.
Duke of New York, hey, number one.
There could be only one. A number one. You're the Duke. You're the Duke. So later, Ruka gets drunk at the bar, passes out. The bartender puts a bracelet on her wrist and watches her sleep as we see the police investigating who the key man was that attacked Ruka. She gets some info on him and calls a number that's out of service while the police chief tries to see if the engineer matches the man who killed Ruka's dad. Maybe there's some connection leading into something. We don't know. Because we have to get to a commercial advertising remote control exterminate, which is the real-life version of we executing someone. And I actually kind of had a laugh at that, where they're fucking slashing the shit out of this fucking guy. And the mom walked in, she's like, can I have a try? I'm like, hell yeah, you can. Go for the neck. And I was like, wow, like, we're in 2023. How have we not figured this out yet? To let people execute prisoners from their own homes.
Well, that extension for the Wii didn't really sell too well in the United States.
I'm surprised, because I feel like the United States would fucking love that. If they could actually execute the person that killed their daughter or mother or father or son. It'd be big in Texas. I think Texas would be the fucking place to have that fucking technology.
Oh, no, theirs was a gun extension for Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're not going to be using swords in Texas. They're going to shoot a fucking gun. Yeah, it's a one-and-done type thing. Like, all right, you're going to take the Wii gun, you're going to point it at the screen, and then you go, pow, and that man's going to be dead. Cool. I fucking love America. Privatized prisons. So Ruka arrives at the apartment of the key man that attacked her. She finds some info and calls into the station for them to look up information on him. His name is Yoshi. So, meanwhile, the police chief is trying to relax after his sword workout. He wishes he had some speed, so he draws a needle filled with speed on his arm, and he goes, I can't fit it in my veins. I'm like, okay, well, all right.
All right, somebody's got some issues.
Yeah, somebody, you know, the fact that he could just draw a needle on his arm and be like, oh, I feel the power. I was like, do you have a Nintendo Power Glove on, sir? No, you're just drawing it on your arm.
Oh, that's the Nintendo Power Needle.
So after he draws a needle on his arm and he can't feel it in his veins, we cut to a guy gunning down a bunch of kids at a park before the police arrive to kill him. And then we see his head being kicked around, like, join the force, yes! I was like, okay, another one, another commercial. Way to fool me again, guys.
I find it another funny, though, that, you know, again, to follow Japanese rules of photography and all that kind of stuff, you know, unless you don't have this permission, you're not supposed to show their faces in photographs. So they're blurring out the face on the head as it's rolling around. It'll be back of the head, clear shot, rolling around to the face, blurred shot, you know, then... I just thought it was so fucking funny.
No, I mean, yeah, you can't even show wieners, you know, in Japanese porn. So why are they going to show the head? That's why I can't get into Japanese porn. Too much.
Well, attention. That's why you have that's why you have those parts drawn over and overseas in China.
Oh, sure. Why not? I didn't know that. Cool. So,
yeah, that's how you're able to get those in your porn.
I don't watch the fucked up shit that you do. I mean, my shit's fucked up enough. I mean, there's a lot of step moms.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the fucked up shit that I watch yet. Wait till we get to the club.
Yeah, see, I saw that scene and I'm like, man, the monkey's right at home right now. He's out and
dude,
he's just fucking over.
Oh yeah. The fucking monkey.
Let me
like,
see this.
Whacking it the fuck off, bro. Because that was like, yeah.
He told the diva to leave the room immediately, and he's like, don't come back for at least 15 minutes, and I will be, I'll be okay.
When we get there, we'll get there.
Well, we're there. This is the next scene.
Okay. All right. Then, yeah, as soon as this happened and this shit went on, I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm so excited that you guys were watching this movie because I was like, now you're watching my level of hentai. This is the closest you'll ever get to fucking my fucking hentai. I was just like,
I was so confused the entire time. I was so literally confused. I was like, this is what the monkey likes. I kept thinking that the entire time. I was like, this is his shit. This is what he fucking likes. I was like, me, I watch stepmoms get stuck in dryers, and I think I'm weird. But he's literally watching shit like
this.
He's
this, and then throwing tentacles on top of it. All right, and then you have a female victim, and that's the shit that I fucking watch.
Yeah, it was just, you know, because you have these people in these weird fucking, like, you know, costumes, and then you have the girl with her tits, and they're all fucking, like, teeth on her tits and shit like that. I was like, yeah, the monkey's like, oh, my God, I'm so hard right now, like, watching this shit. Like, you know, but then they have the fucking chair that's just a chest. It's got, like, weird shit.
No,
these people are like, whoa.
No, it's but it's breathing. It's actually, the chair is breathing.
I know,
it's moving.
It's just a chest that breathes.
Yeah.
And it's got a fucking weird thing on its pussy, and it just starts peeing on everybody. And they're like, yes! I mean, man, monkey just came. Monkey just came.
But then Ghoul and I were probably thinking the same thing was the fucking Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, bro! Fucking I ain't seen something this fucking weird since Doctor Who. There's a fucking thing in the future where, like, the woman had so many plastic surgeries that all she was a stretched-out fucking face. Like, that's all that was left was just this fucking skin and her eyeballs and her mouth and shit. And it was like, I'm looking at this thing going, holy fuck, man. But then the fucking legs open and that fucking flower comes out. And I'm like, well, look, here's a vagina. What next? Oh, wait. It squirts! I'm like, fuck me, raw. This is brilliant. I'm done. I'm done after this because I was laughing so fucking hard. And like I said, in my head, I'm just thinking how much the monkey is loving this. And yep, this movie, this is the peak of the film. So from here on, it's like, okay, everything's going to just like peter down and slowly make its way to the bottom.
So, Dan, what did you think of this fucked up club scene?
It was super fun, man. Like, everything that you're all saying, like, these were parts where I was just fucking dying. Like, how far are they going to push it? What direction are they going to go? Is this going to keep elevating? Is this going to keep climbing metaphorically in the carnage? You know, when I talk about this being super fun, this is the stuff that I'm talking about. Like, this is the stuff that makes me happy and have those big super smiles when I'm watching something.
It was just weird. I was like, this is a whole other level. I was like, this is the category on videos that I don't go to. I mean, I think I'm pretty weird with my fucking porn choices, but this is just weird. I was like, this is just beyond me. I don't get it. I was like, but somebody out there is enjoying it, and that's the monkey. But apparently,
it was me.
These strippers at the club, they have numbers on them. So if you have the number of the stripper, you can get them for a lap dance. So the girl with her tits sewn up and there's teeth in them, she's 69, and that's what the police chief has.
69.
So he's like, hell yeah, I'm going to take her to the back. I'm going to take her to the champagne room, and I'm gonna have some fun. So, of course, she leads
into
the room.
No, there was never sex in the champagne room. There was no sex in the champagne room. Don't let him fool you.
And this one there was, you know, because she sits him down in the chair, unzips his pants, and starts going down on him. He's like, this is the greatest fucking thing ever. But, of course, the key man shows up, and he's like, what the fuck? And then she bites his dick off.
Except for the biting dick off part, this is what I was hoping was going to happen at fucking Dave's bachelor party at the strip club, except I was so fucking stinky drunk that I started passing out on the chicken's bed and got total whiskey dick.
Where was this one?
During your fucking bachelor party, bro, at the strip club. When we all went to the back rooms. So, like, after a night of this chick slapping me around, we finally get back to, like, this back fucking room of the club. And she's like, take your pants off and take your boxers off. So I'm like, ooh. And then she's like, but put them back on backwards. So I guess the idea is to eliminate the squat so that there's no, like, you know, accidental dick popping out type of deal. But yeah, you know what? She laid me down on this, like, little bed in this back room. And I don't know. It was, like, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And we had all drank, like, absurd amounts of fucking alcohol. And you made me comfortable, lady. What can I tell you? So she's like straddled over me. I'm not getting hard at all. She's still slapping me the fuck around, but now she's just trying to wake me up. You know, and she's like all fucking night. All night we've been all going back and forth, and this is what you're gonna do to me? And I'm just like, yeah. That's pretty much how it fucking ended, man. She never got her rock off, and I never got my rock off.
Did you check
the wall afterwards? The poor Dean got a fucking... Oh, no, I was good on that, man. She was good by us. But Dean got stinky ass, man, and I felt bad about that.
Stinky ass. Well, that's a stripper name right there.
Hairs.
Come up to the stage. Stinky
hairs.
Ass.
She had hairs in her butt. Sorry, bro. Oh, sorry.
Oh, it was like Nottingham Forest down there. Wow.
So, oh, look, it's Little John.
So the police chief has his dick bitten off, and the stripper still has it in her mouth, and she spits it to the ground as the key man pulls out a power drill and begins drilling into the police chief's foot. And at this point, the chief manages to free one of his hands, and he begins firing his gun, which hits the stripper, who falls to the floor and begins spasming wildly. The chief manages to get out of the room just as the stripper enters the hall, and we see that the bottom half of her body has now become an alligator's head, which repeatedly attacks
her. This scene, this specific scene is the scene that made me want to see this fucking movie. When it was the fucking alligator head and it opened up, I was like, yep, that is fucking hits I have fucking seen. Yeah, I have to see this movie.
You must have been exhausted from jerking off so much during this scene, man. You must have just covered so much Gatorade afterwards.
I have seen so much hentai where there is monsters down there on the ladies and shit like that, all kinds of demons and shit like that. And I was like, holy shit, they went and did this effect? I gotta see this.
You make me feel better about my porn choices now. Like, now I don't feel so weird. Now I'm actually kind of nice about it. You know, like, I'm watching mom swap videos. That's kind of fucked up. And then you're like, oh, I love it when a fucking alligator head pops up out of a pussy. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, damn.
Dude,
I feel so comfortable now. My choices.
I love mom swap, bro. That mom
it's so fucking good. Mom swap is the best. I fucking love it. It's so absurd. It's just so fucking good.
Stepkid's dick accidentally like pops into mom's mouth. Yeah, I don't know which ones I like more though. I don't know if I like the ones where the mom gets all whorish about it, or if when she's like bashful about it, where she's all like, "Oh no, Johnny, that's not right. We shouldn't do that." And then he's like, "Oh well, mom, you know I've only wanted to fuck you since I was six," and you're like, "What?"
There was one with Katie Morgan and Regan Fox, where Regan Fox played a vampire that turned Katie Morgan into a vampire, and they invited Katie Morgan's stepson over. And he's like, "What? You're a vampire now?" And she's like, "Yeah, I want to fuck the shit out of you." And he's like, "Okay, I'm kind of okay with this."
Dude, where the shadows fuck, bro. I know the exact scene. Okay, it was like a multi-part.
So you know what? Okay,
yeah.
it was like a three-part fucking episode.
Yeah,
there was the one with Karen Fisher where they moved into the neighborhood and they're like, what better way to get to know our neighbors by fucking them? I was like, I love the porn world. Like, it's so great. I never stop being porn. It's so good. So the alligator ends up tearing off one of the police chief's arms. As she goes to attack him one last time, the chief picks up his hand holding the gun and fires it into the alligator's mouth, killing the stripper. The key man approaches the chief and then turns him into an engineer just like he did to Ruka. So now the police chief is infected. He's an engineer. What is he going to do? He's going to go to the police station with an elephant trunk for a penis and start firing it and slaughtering everyone.
Hey, yeah, he is.
Yep. And the monkey is excited. He's like, because this is what I like to watch.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
I was fucking losing it, man, just because when he actually showed up and all of a sudden he's got this big old fucking cock cannon, I was like, oh shit.
That awesome. Makes the elephant noises too, which I love the fact that they put elephant noises. He's walking around killing all these officers. And as this is happening, Ruka is racing around town trying to find the key man. Once the police chief has been killed, the commissioner shows up and demands that all the engineers be hunted down and killed. Rooka eventually finds a key man who brings her into his house, and that's when he tells her that his father was an expert police sniper who received a kill order on a criminal barricaded in a building. The job went wrong, and he was forced to resign. Desperate to keep his family out of poverty, he was given a job by the police commissioner to kill Ruka's dad, the leader of a group trying to stop the police from being privatized. Once he's killed Ruka's dad, he was also killed, which the key man was there to witness. So he decided to get revenge. He injected his DNA samples in numerous murderers that would mutate him into an engineer. But once he was injected, he tried to kill himself but survived. He wakes up and knocks on a door where a little person with horns gives him a jar with a key-shaped tumor. He woke up in the hospital and began researching it and began to reproduce it to get his revenge. Realizing that they both want the same thing, vengeance, Rooka slices the key man in half as we cut to the streets where the police are now taking out all the engineers in glorious, gory fashions. So he's like, well, I don't need you anymore. Like, gone. You know? And she's on her way.
I picked the little man with horns to be the devil. You know what I mean? So, like, he made a deal with the devil, essentially, because, you know, he died to hell or whatever it is. And, like, that's who this little fella is. It's funny, but this little fella actually had a face that, like, reminded me of my grandfather. You know, may he rest in peace. But he kind of looked like.
He looked like a little keyboard elf just with horns. And I was like, oh, it's adorable. Devil. Is he going to make me some cookies in his little treehouse? So the bartender that's been looking after Rooka is eventually captured by the police, and she is drawn and quartered with the cops using their cars instead of horses. So she's tied to all these cars. They're all laughing. They're all eating fucking snacks, and they're just ripping this girl's arms and legs.
Yeah, this is probably the only part of the film that I turbos. Actually felt bad.
Yeah, because she didn't deserve it, you know. And we have no idea if she was an engineer or not. Like, they never really kind of said she was an engineer.
No, she wasn't. They were killing everybody by this point. The police force said, just go out, and even if you think somebody is something, just kill them. So, I mean, this is martial law. You know, basically the militarized police are going to go around fucking terrorizing everybody. I just kept thinking, like, oh, okay, Ruka's going to get here just in time to save her. Maybe she's going to be dismembered. Maybe she'll lose a body part, but she's not going to die, let alone get, like, fucking, like, yeah, quartered, bro. Like, they tore her into, like, fucking strips, and you got Rooka, like, gently touching, like, the one portion of her face. And I'm like, man, this is really fucked up.
And I love the cops, like, all getting out of their cars, and they're all fucking hugging shit. Like, they just
fucking killed
the fucking killer. They're just laughing and hugging and high-fiving each other, and Ruka's like, all right, it's fucking go time, because the tumor is now activated. And she eventually reveals that she's got this alien, like, head in her arm, and she decapitates all the cops that just killed her friend. And that's when Rooka drives up on two cops that are serving up body parts, saying, what the fuck? It's like one of the confusing moments in this movie, because why is there a conehead fucking cop? Like, it was this weird fucking black guy, but he's a conehead. And I was like, what? Okay. And he's like, yeah,
well,
certain body parts.
They were both not, I think this was done because neither one of them were native to Japan. He was Chinese, which is why he was talking about loving doing all this to these people, you know, which I think is kind of a stab to some of the stuff that occurred during, like, World War II and all of that stuff. And I think the black guy might have been representative of, like, of an African, you know? So I don't know what the history is between, you know, Africa and Japan over the years. But it was definitely a weird fucking moment.
Because he was like a mutant. Like, and they just didn't really kind of comment on it at all. But one of the cops shoots out Rooka's eye, which turns into a cybernetic eye. She kills both of the cops and goes off in search of the commissioner. That's
she's
when just
turning
the
Tetsuo it's the Metal Man.
The Iron Man, the Iron Woman.
That's what I was thinking. It was Iron Man at this point.
Yeah. So later the commissioner tells her that he had no choice but to have her dad killed since he opposed privatization of the police. After his death, the commissioner raised her to become the perfect engineer hunter, but she's now one of them that has to die. And that's when we see the coroner show up, and he shoots her with a gun that's filled with fucking fists. I was like, look at this fucking gun. It just fires fucking fists.
And he's just reloading him like
enjoying himself. He's enjoying himself. He's firing them out there.
He's having a grand old time.
And at one point, he manages to fill them up, so they give the middle finger that's going to be shooting at her. But the alien head on her hand manages to turn the fists around, so they fire back at the coroner, effectively killing him with all the middle fingers going into his chest. It's like, it was kind of a cool fucking gun. Like, for some reason, he's just firing fucking fists at her. And I was like, okay, like, I like that. The middle fingers killing him was a nice touch. But that's when we see the commissioner arriving, and they fight, even with the Gimp dog getting involved at one point. The two have a lengthy sword fight in which the commissioner gets his legs cut off, but he injects himself with a serum, which turns his bloody stumps into fucking blood rockets. And he starts flying around.
Astro Boy feet.
And he starts flying around.
Go, go, Astro Boy. Go, Astro Boy.
And it's just so fucking weird. Like, I was like, you know what? At this point, I'm not surprised by anything. The fact that he has his legs cut off and he's still alive.
And now he's projecting it. Yeah. Now he's actually, like, flying around the room, able to steer himself so that he can go after
her. Mm-hmm. So Ruka eventually uses her alien head to stop his flight, and she takes this chance to dismember and also decapitate him, effectively ending the private police force. We then later see that the key man is still alive, using one of his test subjects to piece him back together. So he's all together again, he's fine, and they walk off together for Tokyo Gore Police Part 2.
Don't forget, the prostitute is all fine, too. Her hand is all bandaged up, and now she's with the key man, and they're going around now to reestablish New Tokyo.
So that was the prostitute from earlier, right? The one that was with the guy?
Yes, it was. She's the one that had the big box cutter arm.
Ah, see, I thought that was the titty stripper, the one that had the teeth in her tits. I was like, oh, she made it out. I think it would have made more sense if it was her, but you know, then who knows. I guess the finality was with the alligator head being shot. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't enjoy this movie, but, man, it had a lot of fun gore moments. That's the highlight of the movie. It's like, you know, it lives up to its name, Tokyo Gore Police. Like, it just lives up to the name. You know, and it's just a lot of fun moments. Like I said, I think I enjoy Tetsuo more than anything else just because it was weird enough but also short enough. Like, the length of this movie, like the ghoul and the dean had said, it's long. Like, it dragged at certain points. You're like, okay, let's get back into the story. But, you know, it could have been definitely a 90-minute movie, and I would have been okay with it. But, you know, I think the commercials added a lot to it, too, like Starship Troopers style. You think it's part of the movie, but it's a fucking commercial? You know, like RoboCop did it, Starship Troopers did it. You know,
I'll buy that for
2000.
Again, we know this movie was put together in 2 weeks. It could have used a little bit of editing. You know what I mean? So I feel like they like squashed it together. They filmed it. They put everything, and then they were like, "All right, let's just release it."
Yeah, that's probably exactly what happened. I mean, I don't know how well it did. I mean, I remember, like I said, when I was talking about, you know, whether or not I liked the movie, that it was heavily talked about when it was first coming out, like on Fangoria, on upcoming horror movies. So a lot of people were talking about it.
Critically, it was well received. You know, like there were a lot of good things said about it, both in both Japanese and even with American critics. You know, they found certain things about this movie to be interesting. I know at some point there was like a planned sequel, as we see at the end of the movie, and then they had a prequel planned, but I guess nothing ever came from any of it. The prequel was supposed to be straight to video, but I couldn't find anything on it, so I'm guessing it never got made.
And it's interesting because, Dean, you had brought up in your synopsis that Ruka was a cop, but I never got that. She was a part of the police force. Like, I thought that she was kind of like, you know, a girl that you call in because she knows how to kill. I never took that she was a cop.
No, she's part of the police force. She's wearing their badge. The symbol that you see on the police station is on her. Huh. She's driving a cop car.
Yeah, I thought that was her own weird fucking car with the fucking house on top of it. because I didn't see any of those other
That was all the Riot Squad's cars.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that. Because I always thought she was a consultant.
No, they all had the Saab 900 turbos with the little, Japanese roof on top. That was all of them.
That's why I wanted to get clarification on that, because I always took it as she was like a consultant. Like, she's not technically a cop, but you can call her in because she knows how to take out these engineers. Like, she's the engineer hunter. You know, that's the one that you want on your side. And I thought that car was just hers. I didn't realize that the other cop cars had the little roofs on it. Yeah,
yep.
I don't know. I missed that detail. But, I mean, it's cool. I mean, yeah, like I said, it was just one of those weird things. I was like, you know, because she never wears any of the gear that they wear. Like, she's never in any of the armor. Like, she's always wearing the leather, you know, the jacket and the skirt and, you know, the boots. But I guess that's a sexual thing.
I think that's just because she's more badass than the rest of them.
Yeah, and the armor would probably get in the way of all the fucking cool moves she's got to do.
And there was no other female cops. She was the only one. But that was interesting.
Well,
too.
There was the dispatcher. Your favorite character,
dispatcher.
The dispatcher.
Yep.
Why was she a thing? That was fucking terrible. Like, I just...
Because
he was a dispatcher.
I want to thank you very much. Thank you, 75, number one guy.
Oh. God, see, I would get
right
so
squad,
annoyed.
Go!
Oh. Because then they had that whole sequence towards the end with the coroner, when the coroner was like, oh, shit, Ruka's around. And then you just have a dance sequence with that girl, where she just fucking dances for no fucking reason. Like, I don't like you. Why can't you get taken out? Please be an engineer. Nope.
You would like me very much if I was on Mob Swap, you love me.
I probably would. I'd probably watch her if she was on Mob Swap. It was just an annoying fucking character. I was like, this is why I don't like Japanese horror movies, because there's always that one character that just yells a lot. Like, why can't you just be quiet for a moment? Like, I wouldn't be able to be around that very much. It's like, you know, like the Janine Melnitz of Japan, except she's just really fucking loud. Like, imagine if Janine Ghostbusters is fucking yelling at people, we got one! There's a ghost! You gotta go get him, Ghostbusters! Like, and I'll be like, no, stop it. You fucking suffer right now. We're paying you a salary. We don't like this.
You're not
getting paid.
Anything.
Well, she was getting paid.
Anything.
You know, she was definitely getting paid. Even though they spent the rest of their money beating that movie to
what?
Chinese food. They didn't even include her.
With
it's
what?
What?
Is that what she got paid?
But he collects spores, mold, and fungus. So that's all he could give her was just spores, mold, and fungus.
I want to have a Slimer baby.
Just, it's amazing how drastic that character becomes between Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2, because obviously they were going for the cartoon in part 2. Like, she's just like a normal New Yorker, then all of a sudden in part 2 she's super fucking hot, has the eyeglasses on. I'm like, oh, yep, definitely the cartoon. That's the influence. On Janine in part 2, you know.
Well, because she started to get paid. She started to get paid so she could actually afford to buy some clothes.
Yeah, get that sexy haircut, get the new eyeglasses, seduce fucking Louis Tully of all people. Who doesn't know he's being seduced even as it's happening.
Well, you got to remember, in the first movie, she was trying to get with Egon, but he's fucking ignoring every fucking advancement she was making. So, you know, they made the conscious decision to not let her fuck with Harold Ramis anymore, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like, even that scene where he pops up from, like, under her desk, and she's like, oh, hey. what were you doing down there, Egon? You're obviously asexual. You don't really like girls. You don't like guys. And that was always my favorite Ghostbuster, too. You know, he was a smart guy. You know, just knew about ghosts. I mean, Winston was always second, though, because Winston. So, you know what? I'm going to smoke a cigarette, talk about Twinkies and fucking bus ghosts.
Nah, I'm not even going to lie, bro. I definitely wasn't a Winston fan. I think I was an Egon, then Bankman. It was Egon, then Peter.
That's a good choice. Yeah, I was never a fan of Ray, oddly enough. I never was a fan of Ray. I could never get behind him because he's just always just so weird all the time.
That childlike thing that he had, like the man-child thing going on, you know? Like, oh, look, a pole. Is it operational? It's a fucking pole, bro. You slide down it.
That was the best scene in that movie when they're like, yeah, this place should be fucking condemned. But then all of a sudden, because Ray has all the money, he's like, it's got a pole. we should sleep here tonight, guys. Let's do, you know, try it out. And they're like, I guess we'll be buying this. And even when he shows up in the Ectomobile, like, he's like, oh, well, it needs brakes and a steering wheel and, you know, an alignment, new motor, spark plugs. But, you know, I think it could be a good thing. He was always that child. Like, that's a great fucking toy and cool. He was always just like the kid of the group, just amazed by everything. I know what we have to do. Get her! Get her, Ray.
Yeah,
I just like the fact that Winston was like, I'll believe whatever you want. This is pretty big. No, Captain and Aqua. That was the safest thing I could think of. What did you do, Ray? Mother, Puff Bucket. Nobody steps out of church in my town. Like, just fucking so crazy. This is the weirdest thing he could think of. But yeah, I was always a Winston guy too, just because he just wanted the fucking paycheck. He's like, listen, man, if you're going to pay me, I will fucking believe whatever you want me to believe in. Don't care. Not going to ask questions. Just need to work. Just need to afford rent, you know. But, and then, of course, Egon being smart. But, but as we close out tonight's episode, next week it is my film pick of the week. And you know what? I didn't know what you were going to pick. And then I was like, fuck, I got to find something. So Revenge Tour 2023
revenge,
continues.
Revenge,
yep, it continues.
Revenge pick.
And yes, it's always revenge this year. Revenge is the tour that I'm going on this year. So the Dean brought up Leatherface earlier tonight on the episode talking about Gunnar Hansen. So we've talked about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre a couple times on the show. We've covered part two. We've covered the remake. Well, not the remake, but the one that came out a year or so ago. And we talked about part two. So let's go ahead and revisit Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. From 1990 and directed by Jeff Burr, which stars Arje Mihailov as our favorite Bubba. So we're going to be talking about that next week on the show. So you know what? Dean's safe place is Japan. My safe place is Texas. And the Saw is family. Get to see some fucking early roles by a lot of people, including Viggo Mortensen as Eddie Sawyer. So we're going to see him pop up as Tex and see what he's doing. And Ken Foree shows up too, so... Got a little Dawn of the Dead, the superior version coming in with Ken Foree playing Benny. So we're going to be talking about Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 next week. It is available on YouTube for $2.99 or, you know, Redbox $2.99, cheap rental. But we're going to be talking about the third entry into the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series next week on the show for my pick. So Revenge Tour 2023 continues. I mean, I already own it on DVD and Blu-ray, so I have two different copies, so I'm good.
DVD and Blu-ray.
But not 4K.
Yeah, I'm
good. WNBC.
DVD and Blu-ray.
I got to have both.
Fucking Howard Stern.
Just put down the speaker and just straddle it and just let Howard take care of the rest. So, yep. So, get ready, boys. We're heading to Texas next week in 1990, talking about Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. So, Dean, you picked Tokyo Gore Police tonight. Thank you so much for your pick, and go ahead and sign yourself off.
My pleasure, and how exciting to talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 next week.
I know, I'm looking forward to it. Haven't seen it in a while, so I'm looking forward to revisiting it because I do have fond memories watching part three. But Monkey, again, thank you so much for joining us for Tokyo Gore Police, and go ahead and sign yourself off.
All right, boys and girls, thanks for listening to tonight's episode of Talking Terror and letting me come in your ear. Good night, everybody.
Kisses. All right. So, Ghoul, why don't you go ahead and sign yourself off?
Yeah, no, same here, man. I haven't seen TCM 3 since probably when I rented it from, like, the video store. I can't remember if it was Blockbuster or Video Home Center, but, like, you're talking maybe 1993, 1994, so somewhere in that ballpark. It has been a long, long fucking time. I remember vaguely what my thoughts were then, but being that I remembered nothing of that movie at all, I'm looking forward to revisiting it. So just, you know what? Stay wet, everybody, and stay scared.
Looking forward to talking about it next week. So as always, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G. Thanking you so much for listening to this episode of the show where we talked about Tokyo Gore Police. Next week, we're heading back to Texas to find out what Leatherface is up to in part three of the series. Always remember, the Saw is family. Hail Satan. Hail yourselves. Hail Odorous. Keep America strong. Watch horror movies. We'll see you back here next week.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.